Hi, all. This is Ben from Watch What Crappens. That's Ronnie from Watch What Crappens. That's Jake and Matt. I don't know why I'm starting it like this, everyone.
I'm going to do Ronnie's face.
That's Matt and Jake from Reality Gaze. Hi, welcome to the Crappens and Reality Gaze crossover event part two. We're recapping A Candy-Coated Christmas, available on Discovery Plus. And in case you missed the first episode, we spent 40 minutes talking about the first 2 minutes. And guess what? There's another 80 minutes. So guess what? You're going to be listening to this until next Christmas, okay?
Yes.
Hi, everyone. How you guys all doing?
Great.
Before we jump in, just a reminder, we're all four of us are going to be in New York literally the same weekend. We're doing Crappies on Thursday, the 27th, and you guys are doing two shows. The second one's sold out at Gramercy, which is amazing. Gramercy. So go to Reality.
Literally the same theater, yeah.
Yeah, realitygaze.com.
It's the four of us, the Sex and the City that you wanted.
Yeah. It's the true crossover event is where all four of us are coming. And just like that, we're all in New York City.
And just like that.
Okay. But right now, let's go from New York City to Peppermint Hollow.
Peppermint Hollow. And we're in the bakery of someone named Bee.
Yeah, Bee's
Bakery.
Who
we don't know.
Molly, our heroine, has just arrived from Los Angeles with her big city ways and condescending views of Christmas that she loves but doesn't love. And right. She's arrived, and now she's walked into Bee's Bakery.
I don't think it's wise to open a restaurant that you just automatically put a bee out in front of right at the start.
Yeah.
I mean,
that is a very LA reference.
Marketing.
But yes, we have bees, the classes of the restaurants. With a bee, there have been four rats found there.
yeah. So a little bleach fell into your food.
No big deal.
Sterilized.
She's looking at the counter, and all of a sudden, like a ghoul, up pops the Pioneer Woman, and I scream because she scared me. And you scared me. Now, Pioneer Woman says things to her like, "Oh my God, it's Christmas. If you're from Los Angeles, Christmas is the best time to be in Peppermint Hollow." And she's like, "Where are you going?" "I'm going to Hawaii after this." "Hawaii? I've heard it's beautiful. I've never left Peppermint Hollow."
I know. And she has this like sad desperation. Like, I've been cursed by a witch to stand behind this counter and make brownie bots for the rest of my life.
I am so glad you said that. Mine is darker of what happened. I think she has been, she was some peppermint, Bee was murdered in Peppermint Hollow. Oh. And we're now seeing her as a ghost, and her job is to make brownie bites. And if you eat one of her brownie bites, you can never leave Peppermint Hollow.
Now that's a movie. Now that is a
that
film
is good.
Right there.
You
I'm
become
telling
assimilated.
You
become
that's
assimilated.
That's how they
in.
Get people. You can't leave. So that's
true.
Why.
That's true. We can't give it away the ending. But yeah.
She says no. Molly says no because she's like mint. Nobody likes mint. So. She walks away from that, and I'm going to come back to this, y'all. The reason why I say that she's a ghost or a not real person from the other realm and she's trapped there is not just for the wooden acting, but just that she leaves and says to Molly, when Molly's leaving, "She'll be back."
Yeah.
Yeah. She does. She does get creepy with her.
And for the record, by the way, Molly never goes back to that bakery the rest of the movie. Just so
true.
You know.
Right. Yeah, you were wrong.
Ghost back to the town.
She actually, I wrote down Westworld robot because she's she's very non-playing character in her role. Like, okay, so this girl's standing at the counter, and then okay, it just looks like this. She's like, "Hi," like she just stands up and she's like, "I didn't see you there. You were behind a glass counter. How did you not see you there?
I did not see you there."
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, the glass counter.
Maybe she didn't hear her because there's like exceedingly excessive, which I guess is part of exceedingly, but just very loud jingle bells playing. Not the music, but there's just like these in the background. I'm like, okay, this is going too far. And then Bee has this obsession with mint. And I know they're in Peppermint Hollow and everything, but she's like, "So would you like a Peppermint Hollow mocha? It's our specialty." She's like, "Oh no, I'll just have like a latte." She's like, "You don't like mint? No, not really. Are you allergic to mint? No, so you just don't like mint? You're just like a crazy city person who doesn't like mint? Is that what you are?" It's like, yeah, just
she went on a crazy.
She doesn't want
the way Ree Drummond said that, she did say that. I kind of think Poodle is right, that, or Jake is right, because she kind of said, "You don't like mint." Kind of like a serial killer who, like,
I've been foiled. My plans have been foiled.
She did say it that way.
But you can tell that
shit.
You can tell that Ree is actually from California or has been there before, because she is like a service person in California. Because when you're like, without this, they're like, are you allergic? Why can't you have it? Okay. Are you, does it need to be prepared on a separate counter from the mint? Okay. So, does mint travel over to other counters?
They do go in on you. They will ask you, like, if you ask for something, like if you do get a pour over here, they're like, and you say, can they not do it? Why don't you want that? That's how we do things here.
It's
and
true.
They'll go in on you.
They did that to my boyfriend last night at fucking Cantor's Deli.
Oh.
What? Cantor's is like, yeah, whatever.
I know. Even that Cantor's Deli, they're like, wait, can you not have milk? And he's like, no, I just want almond milk. And they're like, okay.
Well, and then at one point she's like, well, I'll just have I just want like a latte. And then B is like, you want that with mint? I'm just teasing you. And then Molly's like, funny. And then she's like, that'll be $3.99. So Molly gives her some money, goes, keep the change. And you know that Molly only gave her $4. I'm just like, keep the change.
Yeah, keep this penny.
Yeah, take this
penny.
But
also, like, one of the good things about going somewhere like Peppermint Hollow is you're like, oh my God, thank God it's not a Starbucks. I'm going to get a latte for $2. $4? What are you charging Starbucks prices for, B?
Well, it's the specialty.
Who the fuck do you think you are?
It's the only bakery in town. She rules it like some type of like Bordello Madam. She's there just to take everyone's money.
So then, besides, Molly's from California. She's used to being paying that.
But then on top of this whole thing, after Molly has said so many times she doesn't want mint, and now she's been stuck having this conversation about how B has like literally never been out of this tiny town in her entire life. I don't even know how she sources her ingredients or finds out about new ideas and concepts. No. But she's never been out of this town. Then B goes, by the way, brownie bite on the house? And Molly's like, bitch, how many times do I have to tell you? I do not want mint. I just want
assault.
A coffee.
It's really borderline assault.
It is. It's
Ree
just cruel. It's really cruel, Ronnie. Yeah. Thank you for saying that.
And you see in B's or Bree's eyes, I'll have to find another way.
Everyone likes
to do her to all eternity. So I can move on once to my resting
like,
place.
Ooh, I'm going to have to call my friend Trisha Yearwood.
How many?
I've never left Peppermint Hollow, and neither will you.
And neither will you.
Mint brownie bite.
How many like marketing meetings do you think there were in like Silver Spring, Maryland about like vertically integrating those brownie bites into the Food Network, right? You know that it was like, okay, on Food Network magazine, we now have to have a profile on the brownie bites, okay? And you know they probably had a feature that was like, get the recipe for the brownie bites, just like in the movie. You know they were like, that's why they were pushing those
but
brownie bites.
But we never saw that. I mean, maybe it was on the Food Network, but even at the, you know, this isn't given, at the end of the movie, they show like some outtakes and they don't talk about that.
You know, one thing that we haven't really talked about is the fact that this was the Food Network's first ever Christmas movie. This was aired on the Food Network.
It really was, actually.
And so I actually thought what was going to happen was that there were going to be some sort of like sly recipes. Like I thought there'd be some moments, like little tips kind of like woven through, little nods, or maybe like the cooking would be more germane to the story.
It
but
wasn't
it's
at
just
all
mint.
They didn't even present it. Look, I know I've already gone off, but they didn't even present this shit well. It's like she handed her a plate of poo-poos, little poo-poos, with some, you know, green mint chips on it. It's like, could you present this a little
they
bit
looked
better?
Ugly.
They kept
it looked
closing
awful
up on it. Yeah, it was bad. Like nothing was uniform. I'm sorry. I wanted to judge it like the bake it.
Yeah.
You know, the baking or whatever.
So she walks out. She finally extricates herself from this horrific woman behind the counter pushing the mint confections that are not candy coated. And then she goes outside and there are some horrific children who have like no boundaries. And
little juvenile
really
delinquents.
Little delinquents who've been spoiled and caught all their lives throwing snowballs on a sidewalk, a busy sidewalk, the main stretch. Okay. Like, where is Officer Krupke now?
I know.
I literally yelled, that is assault, 10 times during this movie. I mean, I was like, are rules just traveling more slowly to Jupiter or to Peppermint Hollow? Because you can't just throw things at people now, okay?
We need truant officers.
But, like, also, like, we're supposed to believe, like, this is the real way of life. This is what you really should be doing with your life. I'm like, being with all these unruly children throwing snowballs all over the place? No, thank you.
No, thank you. No.
And so they I understand if they kind of know you. This is a stranger. This is a child throwing a hardened ball of snow at a stranger.
Oh, go ahead, Matt. Sorry.
I was just going to say, my mother would have grabbed me by the arm and said, Matthew Stephen Marr, you know better than that. What if my mother would have
banged me upside the head with the wooden spoon she carried around in her purse?
But how do you even respond to being hit with a snowball in the face by a strange child?
Well, she wasn't hit, Poodle, actually.
Because we've got more assault.
Someone like in a plane with like, lost puppies needing a home just flies in and rescues her.
It's like Kevin Costner. If Kevin Costner, I think actually Kevin Costner is a pilot.
He is a pilot. Yeah,
I'm sure he is.
Well, if
they're
Kevin
all
Costner
pilots.
Were a model. And he was rescuing dogs with his pilot's license.
But they don't really rescue. He doesn't really rescue her. He attacks her. I'm telling you, this
he
whole
knocks
movie
her
was
down.
Assault.
He's
like
okay?
He's like.
It's also kind of like condescending because, like, as obnoxious as it would be for those kids to like actually hit her with a snowball, she ultimately would have been fine. She'd have been like, actually, she would have liked it. She'd been like, everything I thought about this place was true, and she would have been fine. But said this guy just assumes he's needed, and he jumps in and he spills that fucking coffee that she spent 30 minutes trying to order from the crazy lady behind the corner.
Yes.
At the counter.
Yes.
Yeah. And then he's like, hey. And she's just laying there looking up because that's like her running joke. Like, she's
how
like,
about
look
an apology?
Me, fell again. Yeah, a rich like, person on the ground. So that's her thing.
There's all it's this like falling. You're... Like she told someone, she's like, hey, I want to be the next Sandra Bullock.
She told her dad.
Me falling. I'm aiming for the reboot of Miss Congeniality. Put that in there for me, please.
And where are the snow angels? You think that eventually she's going to say, wait a second, I can make a snow angel. She doesn't do that. She just falls.
Oh, yes.
So, Ronnie, you were saying.
He tackles her. He tackles her. And she's like, Jesus, you're like mitt in human form. Get off of me. And he's like,
get out of
me. He's like, are you kidding? I just saved your life.
Where's my apology?
He sounds like he's so much entitlement. Like, he literally, we talked in the last episode about Frosty the Snowman and the entitlement that he has. He's like, look, I saved you. Now you do something for me, right? And now it's like this guy is like, she would have been fine. She would have been annoyed, but she would have been fine. But now he does it, and now he expects like a fucking date out of it.
I'm a guy. I have to save. If something goes down the street, I have to save you. That's just
now,
it.
I mean, I will say, y'all, if you didn't watch the movie, I did immediately press pause on my Discovery Plus, and this is when I went into a deep, deep Instagram dive of Erin O'Connell because he is hotter than shit on a stick. I mean, he's a beautiful man.
I think he's hot, but I was kind of like, his styling was just like, he didn't look great in the movie.
I felt like I was...
He's got great hair and great
super,
lips.
He is like super, super hot, and I felt like the movie could have, like, did not... really present him as hotly as they could have. Like, Matt and I know how hot he is and how hot he can be.
Looked him up too.
Was he ever shirtless once?
Thank you.
Was he even in a cut-off shirt?
Like, or at least, like show a little bit of, like, get in, like, some long pajamas with a little bit of cleave showing.
Yeah.
None of that.
Cleave.
So that being said, despite all my frustration about, like, the entitlement that he comes in, if the super hot guy just like threw himself on me and spilled my coffee, I'd be like, excuse me. And I'd just come out with like a tower of coffee, be like, does anyone want to throw another snowball at me? Please.
Please. I just got one of those big things at Starbucks. The big.
I just can't with this guy.
No, that's now, look, Ronnie. Why would you choose
this
that
is
photo?
Like,
Ronnie,
I'm not saying I don't think he's
Ronnie.
He's
you're doing
of course
him dirty.
Handsome, but of course it's like this is the guy who's like, it's my guitar, everybody.
Well, he's a model.
Yeah, I came over
but
for a dinner.
Once
you cooked,
I can pick her up,
gonna,
I can
well,
put her down.
He puts his plane on autopilot and he plays for the lost puppies as he flies them across country to new homes. That's it.
He does look better in other photos, but the styling, you couldn't even see what his body looked like. He was all frumpy and sweaters.
I mean, no, he's very fit. I mean, I will say, as Poodle's used, Poodle has a gift about things with certain men, and I think,
it's a pretty nice penis. I can just tell you just by seeing the
Guess like how good the penis is?
Poodle has a gift. Poodle has a gift.
I can't always tell you the length or girth, but I can tell you the general attractiveness level sometimes.
I would like to contribute a photo. I'm not happy with Ronnie's.
I don't see anything.
I'm not happy with Ronnie's selection here. Okay.
Thank you, Ben.
May I take this over, Ronnie? May I take over the screen?
Yeah,
the
sure.
And that's where if any of our listeners are like, oh, our reality gays, they're just like Crappens, but they talk about 90 Day Fiance and other. And then they went, oh, Crappens doesn't talk about men's penis girth. So that's a little bit of a
yeah, we're not. Hey. Yeah. We're a little more innocent in that regard. But it is like hanging out with you.
I forgot how to actually add stuff onto this. Did you share? Is that what you did?
Yeah, go down to share and then push.
I like this is now
window.
A tutorial.
It'd be like when one of our listeners sent me an Instagram message. He said, Ronnie mentioned you on the show today. And I said, what'd he say? He said, well, they were talking about a sausage. And he said, if this were the reality, they'd be totally talking about dicks right now.
Oh, that's a big old dick.
That now is here. Thank you, Ben.
I just had to put up a proper photo of what.
That's totally like Abercrombie catalog total. 2008.
100%. This is Sean Cody 2004.
Oh, the glory days.
All of the
above. Glory days.
We welcome all of Erin O'Connell and everything.
The paradise lost.
And I will say, as I mentioned the last episode, I did see him at a wedding, and I can assure you that in person. Just gorgeous. Just gorgeous.
And he's not too pretty. He's not too pretty.
I think his hair
way.
Looked really good this movie. I thought his hair always looked good. But he probably didn't fix it himself.
He's aging into young Josh Brolin.
I'm sick of hot guys just getting everything. It's like everyone's like, oh, he's hot. Who cares? Okay, he's going to be ugly soon.
Agreed.
That's the fun part, when you're raised
from their power. That's the best part.
And exactly. I love it, Ronnie, that you're so terrible like me.
But I
yeah, why
just
not?
I mean, really, so vile.
Y'all are way more alike, and I'm telling you. But can we talk about how he just really isn't even like, he's supposed to be this nice guy from a small town, but he really isn't apologetic to her about running into her. He's like, I saved your life. Get used to it. Love mint.
Yeah, like, no, yeah, he's not a total asshole. He's not even apologetic. He demands an apology, actually.
Yeah.
He says, you owe me an apology, which I'm like, excuse me, you're the one who actually volunteered to insert yourself into this situation.
It's like he saves people to get an apology from them. That's his whole goal in life.
When
people say, thank you so much. Oh, my God. I'm so sorry I did that. Thank you. You're welcome. I appreciate your
apology. He'll push you out in front of the bus just to grab your sweater and pull you back and be like, well, oh, my God, you almost got hit by that bus.
Yes.
Yeah.
And I play the guitar. Want to hear it?
So he
hold me closer, Tiny Dancer.
Shut up, hot person.
Dogs.
So he introduces himself. His name is Noah. Very biblical.
Because of course it is
very biblical. Yeah, and I will say, I've never met a not hot Noah.
Agree.
Yeah, I think that's true.
I definitely have. I'm just over here like, grr.
Maybe the original Noah.
Maybe the original, yeah.
Original Noah's probably
shave the
hot.
Beard. He was still hot. He was hot at 300.
But he smelled because he lived with like 90 animals.
You know?
You know, but I'm sure he loved a good DP because he's always up for two.
Jesus, even I think that was clumsy.
Why is it that when we get to the Bible, you get like that? Like anything else, you're fine.
It's the recovering Catholic in me. It's the recovering Catholic.
Yeah, director of photography.
Yeah.
You were a Catholic? Weren't you a Baptist?
No, Catholic. You know, I was a raised Catholic.
It's weird. It seems like he should be that like Jesus fucking.
I almost
like,
became a priest.
Crazy youth pastor, but he's not.
I still love Jesus and all that too. So I just, you know, I just feel like.
I could see you as a priest.
Because
you're like a therapist and stuff. You do all the good stuff. Yeah. Gay people can be priests. I mean, I know plenty of them.
But they can't go to heaven.
Yeah. You just can't act on it.
If you can't go to heaven, at least go to Bee's Bakery, right?
Exactly.
So
if you're going to be gay, just do it inside here. Use your inside gay.
Into same-sex attraction.
Sorry, y'all. We're now just on minute four.
So now the point is this. He's like, you owe me an apology. No, you owe me an apology. Agree to disagree. I'm Noah. Can I take you out or something? She's just like acting a little too much for just a snowball situation. And of course, if I were her, I'd be like, yes, of course we're going out. You're hot as fuck. But instead she's like, I have to run because I'm a city person who hates Christmas. Okay. And I'm going to sell a person's house who is probably not in this conversation. Okay.
Yeah, so she's walking down.
She's like, the I'm never going to see him again.
Thank God.
Ever. Which we all know, when there's only two
the meet cute
good-looking people of the same age in the town, they always run into each other again. Mm-hmm. And so she's walking down the sidewalk in her terrible outfit and her cheap purse and her cream sweater. And she goes to this closed place, and she's calling it. She's like, Patrick, I have an appointment at 11-ish. I have a property I wanted to sell right away, so if you'd just call me. I'm going to text him. I'm going to email him. I'm going to call him again. Where are these small-town work? Lady, you're trying to sell a house on goddamn Christmas.
Yeah.
Which was it Christmas Eve?
But it's also
someone
this like
open my door.
But it's also this narrative like city people with their schedules and their business not paying attention to important things in life, like going to local store and buying milk out of a jar.
City people with their showing up on time.
They don't care about people being people and needing a break.
I'm sorry. I have to separate from the pack here because I just went to a Christmas thing last week. There's hundreds of people out there. We're in this little tiny town. My mom just wants to go to this one store. You get to the store, be back. Well, what the fuck does that mean? There's hundreds of people. Are you closed? Be back. So. You know, it's like that's a little town thing. It's just like, well, I'm going to go to lunch, and I ain't going to tell you what fucking time I'm coming back. How about that?
That is true. But I actually feel like, especially in California, no one ever is on time. Like, no one's on time in L.A., I don't think. So I think they would be it wouldn't be a big deal, but whatever.
I just know that anyone who sells a house is the thirstiest person alive, and they're going to want to be there.
Yeah.
They're
going to What bothered me is that, later on, Patrick is super aggressive about, meeting up. And I'm like, sir, you missed the first appointment. You established the pacing of this relationship. So don't get all huffy when she's not ready to see you. Okay?
And that's more normal for a real estate person.
We're going to have a gay realtor. Please. That's it. We're going to have a gay realtor, right?
Nope. No. Well, he may have been.
No, there are no gay people. There are no gay people in this town.
He just may have been a bit more masked.
I know.
So
we even mentioned people of a Jewish faith later, and it's extremely poo-pooed very quickly.
Very, very quickly.
Ain't no Jews in peppermint hot.
We've already established there's no carbs. She's already y'all. She's mentioned she doesn't eat. She's already told us to know that she doesn't eat carbs and ever because that's what Californians
that's
don't
what
do.
That's what girls do.
That's what girls do.
Girls don't understand the real meaning in life, okay? The real meaning of, what it means to live and be in America. You know, they don't eat carbs, you know? They're fancy.
I don't even remember how she gets to his house. Like, I was still in a daze spinning from what was happening.
She's driving a rental car.
She got a rental car from the big city.
Oh, yeah, because she lost the keys. Okay.
Mm-hmm. She could have bought a coat at the airport.
That she was like, no, she's going to have this strident, independent spirit when it comes to her body temperature.
There's a great quote about that later.
So let's go back in. So now we get the Christmas song. Christmas! Christmas! The worst.
It's like,
but it's a different one. You know,
Christmas!
Yeah. Christmas! So, God, man. I just keep writing terrible outfit and assault. So her shoes don't fit either, which we learn in this scene. So Molly gets to this house and the teenager answers. Dakota, we find out later, but Dakota answers and she's like, are your parents here? And she's like, they died when I was a teenager. baby.
What?
That's no boundaries. That was another what for me.
That's her first line of dialogue.
To
that's
a stranger.
I'm just calling her orphan girl. I don't even remember her name.
I need to say this. And I have this is another theory. She's a ghost. Do you feel like this role was written for a 10-year-old girl and this is what they got?
I think so. Because this girl she was a little too attached to the family
she says things like, I made a lip balm and or she's a slow 18-year-old.
She's just really emo and annoying about it. My parents died. You know, it's I'm gonna write something I'm gonna write a poem. You know,
and she talks about her piggy bank later. And it is
weird. I was like, wow, you're the only person in this movie who saves money.
But it's like I don't know. I could not. If you told me this girl was 13, okay. If she told me she was 22, I'd kind of believe it either way. It was weird. She didn't have an age.
The fact that she led with my parents died when I was a baby. That's a real, unless she's just so fucking sick of telling it. She's like, I just got to get out of the way and just do the shock effect and just see what they do. You know,
they died when I was a baby.
But nobody really cares.
And I live with my uncle and my grandma. Okay, great.
But when people ask you that, they don't care. Like, they don't want to know. It's like when you say, how are you to a stranger? I don't really care. I'm just saying, like, hi. It's my way of saying hi, you know?
Yeah.
Save your history, lady, all right? I haven't even had a mint brownie bite. So then I care about this?
We hear a booming, sexy voice say, who is it, Dakota? And then guess who steps in?
Hottie McHot.
It's Noah. He's made it home. Noah is there.
With his mouth open, of course. He's
care
like,
to apologize?
You know, he does have his mouth open a lot, right?
Yeah,
he's like, wow, look. He's like, look. I saved that girl in town.
He's a mouth actor. He is an exasperated mouth actor. He does a lot of.
Yeah, mouth actor. So she's like, oh my God, what are you doing here? And he's like, oh, killing her parents. What are you doing here? And she's like, I thought I'd get a tour, I guess. And he's like, we don't give tours of our house. And she's like, not even to the owners.
And he's like, what? And he goes, oh, the Gallants own the property. Because he's very slow. He doesn't, like, pick it up. He doesn't pick up, like, that she just said that she's the owner. He's like, well, guess what? The Gallants own it. And the Gallants have a daughter named Molly who's blonde and about your height and looks like you in the pictures. So that's who I'd give the tour to.
Again, I'm going to ask for ID. Like, he didn't even ask for that. I would have.
Well, he's still trying to get that date. You know, it's sort of an awkward move if you ask for ID before you can get to the date.
His mom comes up behind them, Kim, and says, "Oh," and the thing is, you guys, they know that the owner of the house is there. So put two and two together, or one and one if you're that slow.
Yes,
you know someone's, and especially if you've been behind on the rent, if the first thing that you say isn't, we'll get you the rent, we promise, slumlord. But no one, and then, so he's so stupid, he doesn't get it. Mom, I think, gets it immediately, because she's like, you're the spitting image of your, this woman should have been cast with an Irish accent. You're the spitting image of your mother. Because she's that style of a character.
I'm going to play the sentimental card and make sure this girl does not collect
exactly.
that rent.
Exactly. I don't want to get kicked out on Christmas.
And besides the Pioneer woman, I forget her name, but this is Kim. The most famous woman in actor in this movie.
She's been in all kinds of stuff.
Garlington is Lee her name. I'm looking. She's been in a lot, but she's a soap actress, right?
She was good, actually.
She was good.
This woman lied to me because when I got into SAG, I went to my SAG meeting and she was the SAG representative.
She told me
that if I kept being an actor all of my life, I would get this wonderful pension. We'd be able to quit our day jobs. You just have to commit to the union. Commit to the union. I just got a check from Modern Family for 39 fucking cents and I don't have a pension.
Wow.
This woman is a crook. She would scream at you.
Wow. Well, look, I'm going through her IMDb now, and she was in a two-parter episode of Medium, which is one of my all-time favorite shows.
She's done a lot. She's a great character actor.
She was actually very good.
It is the longest.
She was good. She was the best thing
I've ever read. I actually really enjoyed her. She sort of gave me a Mercedes Rule energy. Yeah. So she's like being all like, oh my God, I remember when you were a kid. Don't evict us. I remember your mom. I remember your mom.
You're right. She totally knew from the get-go.
She knew.
And then she kind of like shades her. I felt like this was shade. She was like, you look like you're dressed for Hawaii.
Hawaii? We don't know about Hawaii.
What is this state that's not attached to the 48? What is this?
Yeah. You look like you're dressed like you're going to go to a Big Lot sale to work in Hawaii. Okay.
Yes.
And Molly's like, well, that's where I'm headed after this, to Hawaii. And Kim's like, oh, you're serious? Well, let's get you some boots or something if we're going to take a tour. And she's like, boots? I don't need boots. I love falling down. It's my thing. Do I do it right now?
And Noah's like, be careful on those steps because you're just a silly lady who doesn't understand stairs and shoes. And she's like, what? I'm a lady from Los Angeles. I know it all. And then she falls over. And then is in the snow again.
She goes,
yeah.
She also announces
like, you knew that was going to happen. And he's like, no, I didn't. Yeah, he knew when they told you to put on some goddamn boots.
It's called Ice Lady. By the way, she announces that she's going to Hawaii so many times. Like, you know, she's not. She's like, I'm definitely going to Hawaii tomorrow. I can't wait.
Yeah.
They really tee that one up.
It's pretty clear. I also just want to. So, well, and this is kind of, but I'm going to talk about this probably a lot, but I just want to say, who from Home Goods decorated this house? Because holy fuck.
It's out of control.
It is bad.
I want to know who's cleaning it, because this house does not look clean. I mean, I could smell cat pee. I could smell the cat pee, and there's not even a cat.
Yeah.
It's just one of those
smell
houses,
dust mites.
Yeah.
That also, kind of, yeah.
Also, like, you're behind on your rent, and you're clearly still going out and buying new decorations.
Thank you.
It's like, hello.
And that's, like, thank you.
Sell your Sub-Zero fridge or something. I mean, what's...
Someone's Discover card is maxed.
Like,
you guys, literally all they do in this movie is spend money, family.
Yeah,
like, every time you see them,
yes,
they're dropping money.
They've got $300 left on their Diners Club, and that's fucking it.
Also, I mean, it is... Every single inch of this house is decorated. I'm like, and you know what? That costs money. You're behind your rent. You don't have to decorate the room that no one's sleeping in.
It's like when people decorate their toilets in their bathroom. I love Christmas, but that freaks me out.
Yeah.
Speaking of, I want one of those toilet lights you put in there, and it's like turns colors. I'm getting one of those.
But like, you'd think
on Facebook.
Noah can install it for you.
Hot cocoa is a luxury.
Yeah.
You're it is a luxury.
And it looks like she's like, I made this purely, and we're going to make cookies and blah, blah, blah. They're cooking bacon in the next scene.
Girl, they have five-course breakfast with a whole ham.
Yeah.
And they're so poor.
A whole
and
ham.
Yeah.
And that's not, they're not leaving anything. I mean, they're not eating that all. Where is that going to go? They keep cooking. It's like, eat your leftovers. Save your money. Clip a coupon. Come on.
Okay, so for this tour, he takes her to his greenhouse. Yeah. This is such a fucking guy thing to do. She's like, wow, can I see this house that, you know, no, I kind of grew up in? My dead mom spent all this time in? And they're like, oh, yeah, you can get a tour of the greenhouse.
I know. It's like, and you think, like, for a moment, you're like, oh, wow, now this is getting interesting. It's like, it's pot. Like, an entire, like, greenhouse of pot.
That would be a great movie.
But it's just
like, you want to watch me. You want to watch me play football on the PlayStation?
Yeah, and then he's like so proud. He's like, "Oh, look at all this mint I've grown." You know what they say about mint? It grows like a weed. Everyone always says, "Don't plant mint with the other things because it takes over." So congratulations,
you're acting like
the
mint.
Thing.
You grew the easiest like... thing. Yes.
Also, no wonder you have a surplus of it.
And you're not selling it. You're just basically killing mint right now you're doing. It's like a mint slaughterhouse.
And he explained a greenhouse. It's like, you know,
thank you.
The greenhouse, not sure if you're aware, but the greenhouse is 30 degrees warmer than the outside cold. She responds with the strangest statement. I can't believe this was written by an actual person and not a computer that spit out. She's like, huh. I wish I was 30 degrees warmer than the outside cold.
You'd be dead.
It was such a weird... It's like, you know how you see a movie or you read a script and you're like, I wish they talked like people.
They
don't talk like people in
this
movie.
It's like, I mean, this is, there's another part where she's on the, which I'll talk about, I'll point that out. Yeah.
But why is he telling her, I'm getting so flustered. Did some executive read the script and say, I'm afraid someone's going to watch this movie and wonder why those plants are alive in the middle of winter. So can we explain why they're growing?
I think you're right. But you know what I did? I'm one of those people. I was like, wait a minute. What's happening here? It's winter. How is this working?
How does this grow? I never liked it when Frosty died in that greenhouse.
I like that I'm the real life sample for all the stupidity in this movie.
I was hoping you'd be like, oh, I wish I weren't dressed so warmly in this hot greenhouse. Then, you know, shirt comes off. I was like, okay, we can set up for that. Doesn't happen.
Right. So he's like, don't worry, you get used to it. She's like, uh-uh, 70. That's what I like because I'm from LA. Hope that mint doesn't have any gluten in it.
Oh, fuck it. Yeah, he also makes, every time they talk about it, she digs mint, his go-to is a kale joke. There's like
that was
five
weird.
Kale jokes
years.
In this movie.
This is 10 years behind kale.
Yeah.
Oh.
So she goes, she who's like apparently never encountered mint, goes, that mint smells so minty. And he goes, yeah, well, Well, when you smell mint, your brain releases mood-determining hormones into the body. It's a natural relaxer. It's like, thanks, sir.
Yeah,
we don't
brought
need
to you by the mint advisory board.
Yeah, the mint lobby.
I know,
of
just
DC.
Like pee starts trickling down her legs. He's like, you'll get used to it. Just saliva's coming down.
Like, okay.
All her muscles are going down.
That warmth is good. You'll get used to the pee. You'll get used to it.
So the teenager comes in and she's like, hi, not my mother, because you're living. Gran wants you to stay for dinner. And she's like, gross, dinner, ew.
Ew, I don't get carbs.
And then, yeah, what is it, a mint roast?
And then and Noah leads with, she makes the best mashed potatoes you've ever eaten. Now, look, I love mashed potatoes, but like there's sort of like an asymptotic like level. Like it can only get so far.
What's an asymptotic?
Asymptote is like something that you approach but you can never quite get to. But like the point is this, there's like an upper.
I didn't know either.
I was
sorry.
With you,
I
Ben.
Thought with all this smart talk about greenhouses and natural relaxers, we could talk scientific.
I used that word in a paper once.
But either way, they're like, I mean, like I feel like if someone said to me it's the best mashed potatoes, I'd be like, I don't know if I'm gonna stay for dinner for that. Like if someone said the most amazing turkey or whatever, maybe
fried chicken,
or
which
like
there
a,
was
a beef bouillabaisse. But it's just the most basic thing.
She just goes to the most
mashed potatoes,
and then she goes, oh, I'm staying away from carbs, which I think is actually a very reasonable response. A little rude to say to people who are inviting you over, but then she says, I'm staying away from carbs, and Dakota says she also made apple pie for dessert. What part of I'm staying away from carbs says let me add apple pie to the mix?
It's got fruit in it.
It's fruit.
It's healthy.
I go back to say that Dakota may be a little slow.
And then
so Molly's like,
I'm cutting
Molly
down
goes,
on sugar.
I'm cutting down on sugar too. And so Noah's like, she can make some quinoa.
I'll run into some kale and water.
Like, these are leftover jokes from a Jeff Foxworthy routine 15 years ago.
Yes, it's true.
It's about kale and quinoa.
Like, also, at what point do you have to like read between the lines and say, she's just trying to be polite and say, I have no interest in eating with you strangers.
Also, I have like a general thing of going to people's for dinner. I hate when people make me come over and eat. I just don't like that. Like, do you want to come over and drink? Sure. But do you want to come over for dinner? No, you can't cook, fucker. Everybody knows you can't cook. And now I have to sit there and pretend that you know you can cook?
You're going to try to prove to me you can cook and it's going to be overly fancy and I'm going to have to...
Restaurant.
I'm going to have to... Yeah.
It's not unrealistic for her to turn this down. She is going to Hawaii. She is allegedly going to Hawaii. And I have to assume she has a nice bathing suit. And she's like, I don't think I want to eat, like, stuff myself with mashed potatoes and apple pie when I'm supposed to be, you know, surfside tomorrow morning.
Yeah.
So, no. It's no, I will reasonable. Not like that. It's very reasonable. Very reasonable.
So, they go in, and she, of course, stays for dinner because she's a sucker. And so everyone's like in Christmas colors. I don't know why I wrote that down. So they're having fried chicken, mashed potatoes.
Is.
Yeah. And she's nibbling one little green bean.
Yeah.
You know? And
which is so obnoxious that that's what they served her. Like, we're just going to give you some green beans. Like, condescending.
It's ridiculous.
That's all she would eat is a green bean. So she's like nibbling it. So she's like, so you and my mom were friends, Kim? And she's like, oh, not at first. We fell for the same boy. And then it turned out he didn't like either one of us. That was fine.
I did not see that story going there.
It didn't really add. It's like, okay, so basically you thought
so
her mom was a
friends.
Bitch at first.
Like, and they really could have done like, oh, yeah, we were interested in this boy. I had a group of friends. Me, your mom. And then the music turns. She's like, B at the bakery. And then this could become like a whole Watcher in the Woods type of thing. And Betty Davis could have shown up. And this movie would have blown up.
Well, I definitely wanted it to end with, like, it turned out he liked someone else. I did fuck your daddy.
Yeah, it was such a strange, like
he had beautiful hands, that man.
Because they kind of, well, this is giving things away, but spoiler alert, when dad comes back at the very end, they have chemistry.
They do.
Right?
Yeah, okay. Yeah, totally.
I actually, for a moment, thought, is Kim's her mom, right? Kim's her mom.
I thought for a minute, I'm like, wait, is Noah her brother?
I was hoping for that. I was really hoping for that.
Oh my God, why do I have a boner. Must be the weather.
You know what? It's not your fault, Ronnie, because all gay porn does is tell us that incest is best these days.
This makes me feel better about my DP comment. Thank you.
And all tattoos are acceptable.
And listen, straight porn is no better. We've all clicked on the regular Pornhub logo at some point.
Yeah.
Every single... They are disgusting straight people. I'm sorry, straight guys specifically. It's all like, my daughter just got home from school. What the hell? Every single... It's like, grandpa's mad about my report card. Ew.
On that note, so we now get some more exposition.
And we do.
Because this entire movie is exposition. They just never finish explaining
things.
So she's like, so how long have you been here, lady who does not accommodate guests and only serves them green beans? And Kim is like, well, when your mom, Sarah, moved off to school in California, she wanted someone she knew to take care of the place. And I don't think she ever really wanted to sell. I mean, so when my late husband and I decided to expand our mint business, she convinced us to move here and it's been our home ever since.
This was a lot of heavy lifting.
This mint business has been in the family, in the Winter
but
family.
Kim is such, oh yeah, the Winter family. And I like that they pronounce it like winter, but they can't pay the rent. Also, Kim is really manipulative that she's like, you know, your mom, she just never wanted to sell the place. So that's why I'm
she
here.
She never did.
That's why I'm here.
Following those silly California dreams of hers.
When I think about it, I think kudos to that actor because I think she's the only person that had subtext in this entire film.
Oh, definitely. Right. She's the only one who thought about it. You know, when I'm sometimes in the house by myself at night, I see what I think is your mother. never.
Surely you couldn't sell.
Surely. Would you like a brownie bite? I picked them up today.
It's funny.
Yeah, Reed just pops up from behind the table. Yeah. She's like,
hello.
Hello.
So then Noah's like, so what exactly do you do in Los Angeles? And she goes, oh, I'm doing a new partnership with my best friend Gracie. She's going through a really tough time right now. You'll probably meet her. Just disregard her.
I'm going to tell you all about her, even though you don't know her.
We're developing a line of organic baby products, but my day job is director of marketing for Gallant Resorts.
And he's like, he goes, huh? And Kim's like, what does that mean? Really, Kim?
Come on, really? Kim.
You have a mint business and you don't know.
Well, obviously it's failing because they don't have a marketing director.
I don't think Kim is really into the business. Again, because
her
reaction...
She's still stuck in the past.
She's still stuck in the past. So I don't think Kim just wants to fuck her dad.
Yeah. I thought they were going to set up, and they actually didn't, to their credit, they didn't really do this. I thought they were going to set up to one of those things where, like, the lady from the city has that sort of generic corporate job where it's like, what do you do? I don't do anything. Like Richard Gere in Pretty Woman. I don't anything.
Like Chandler, yeah.
I'm not real, right? I'm not tangible. I'm not building things, you know?
Did you get it when Dakota, who may or may not be slow, said, hey, do you see celebrities? And... And so she said, you know, we may have rented a room to Leonardo DiCaprio. Now, if this were real, Dakota would have said, who?
My thought exactly. She'd be like, who is that?
Who's that?
No, but y'all, I'm
sounds
telling you,
old.
People that above like 40 and up in like smaller town, Leo DiCaprio is like because of fucking... Gangs Titanic. Of New York
but
and Wolf of Wall Street.
She's 14.
Oh, I know, but I'm telling you, because it is the same. I remember when I was in Oklahoma and I was working on my computer, and because I was there for a long time, and one of my dad's friends came over, and my dad said, what's Matthew doing? My dad said, I've never seen anything like he just types on that thing, and that's work. Beats me.
Listen,
all I could ever see. Like, he doesn't get it. Maybe this movie's made for Chelsea. But he does not get it.
Let me tell you something. Funny. Her, like, trying to impress this teen with a Leonardo DiCaprio reference, that's like us being, like, in 1984, 85, and someone being like, guess who I just saw? Robert Redford. You're like, okay.
Yeah,
like, you know, who cares? But also, if she was really, like, an L.A. type, she wouldn't be bragging about Leo DiCaprio.
Because
he's, like, a huge perv and probably going to be canceled at any moment.
Right.
Forgot, you know, if God knows what.
She were a professional, she would not be doing this either.
No. You know, once, about 3 years ago, we rented a room to Kevin Spacey. It was really impressive. He's a great guy.
A great guy, yeah. Oh, oh.
So, and before that, Ghislaine Maxwell, she's lovely.
So then Molly's like, so what do you guys do here that's causing you to not pay your rent? And Noah goes, oh, well, we host our annual Winter's Mint Christmas Eve party every year. It's a potluck, come one, come all. So first of all, I just want to say, you're behind on your rent. Like, do not be hosting a
giant
potluck.
Let's host a huge party for also, the entire town.
There was nothing, when we do finally get to this party, there was nothing about it that said potluck. This was not a potluck that you hosted, sir.
It was like a formal occasion.
And there weren't even a lot of people there. You know what I mean?
It's like you bought stereo equipment. That's what you did.
There wasn't even like accent lighting like you have. No. It was so awful.
It was like they set up for a Michael Bublé concert and he never arrived.
Speaking of a Michael Bublé concert, it's time to end this episode.
Oh my God.
Oh my God. Oh, wow. We're really killing it, guys.
I think we're now 17 minutes into the
progress.
Movie.
We made some good progress.
I will say most of the middle part of the movie is boring exposition still.
The rest of it. It's like the first 20 minutes of everything, and then it just peters out like a bad hand job.
And then it like recaps as anybody... it goes along, but also what previously happened.
Unlike a hand job, something good actually happens at the end. Maybe.
Oh my God, I don't like those either. It's just like, stop. I feel like you're pacing me. It's like you're a metronome, you know? Like, stop. Gung, 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 gung. Yeah, just lay there. That's all I need. Sorry. Please don't be listening to this in the car with your children. But
too
also,
late.
For those of you who can't join us for the end of this because you have family obligations, they all die. So thanks for being here.
Ree Drummond takes them all.
You guys, thank you for being here. We'll be back tomorrow with another installment of a Candy Go to Christmas recap with a little crossover event. Bye, everyone.
Bye. Bye. Bye.